This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Nick Kostos on the NFL at the top of the hour. We're going to go over the big games and how Nick feels they fall on the betting front, including Steelers-Colts. He was all over last week's game. He's great at what he does. I look forward to his appearance every week. It's a day early this week because he's unavailable tomorrow, so we look forward to Nick at the top of the hour. How are we doing here, Limits? Everything okay over in your neck of the woods?
Neck of the woods is pretty good, other than construction being on my road every single day.
We had a little minor blow up earlier in the show.
Did we not? Don't have too many of those.
No. Everything okay on your end?
Everything is good.
Everything's good on my end. We forge ahead, don't we?
Very much so. And I got what you want right now.
The Ben Roethlisberger podcast, Footballin'. We monitor that every week because Ben is still a major voice in this town. He has made himself so. He's great. The podcast is great. He's got opinions left and right. And Marquise Pouncey, I believe, was the guest on this week's show. And Pouncey was often a guest of mine on Everything But Football with Al, the legendary Al Villanueva show that I had for, 3 years maybe? On this station, where we literally talked about anything but football. I think that was actually the name of the show. Anything But Football with Al. And because Pouncey's locker was right next to Al's, he would often just turn and start talking. And I would put the mic in front of him, and he was great. He was great. So I imagine the clip that we have in regard to the Steelers potentially getting a number two receiver still is probably pretty good. Why don't we play it, Limits, shall we?
I worry about receiver, like another guy, another playmaker. And I know that people want to see, is it Robin Wilson?
Calvin Austin.
Made a great play today. He can run. But he's not your two.
No.
And
no
I'm
way.
Not sure, because I haven't seen it. I don't know. Is it Roman? Yeah. I'm not sure Michigan. Roman Wilson's your needle mover. I don't know. Is he a number two? Is he a two NFL?
Listen, I'm on Football in Seven right now. I ain't going to let Ben sit up here and lie to y'all, man. Listen, we need a number two receiver.
That is great. We need a number two receiver.
Tell it how it is, Marquise.
So, do they? I asked Chris Hoke that. Hokey didn't seem to think so, and he pointed out that, listen, this is a lot of multi-tight end stuff that they run. You know, Freiermuth is basically a receiver. We saw some good contributions from the other guys the other day, Miller and Austin. When he spoke, I started to think, would a second wide receiver be happy here? Is there enough work for a number two guy? Hokie's concern was, what if Pickens gets hurt? Then they're in trouble, and I agree with that. And I would say to that, if there's not enough work for a number two receiver, then what kind of offense do you really have here? I think there would be. I think there'd be plenty of work. Plus, yeah, you have insurance then against a Pickens injury. You said Jeremy Fowler reported yesterday that the Steelers are still sniffing around. Is that the nature of that report?
Yeah, Christian Kirk. These are names that are thrown out there if the Steelers want to make moves at the deadline, which a lot of insiders think is something that they should prioritize. Christian Kirk and DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins in Tennessee with the Will Levis wonderfully led offense that's really humming right now at 0-3. So those are two potential guys. They do need another two wide receiver, Joe. I mean, they keep telling us this.
Do they have enough work for one?
I think so.
I'm starting to think if Brandon Ayuk came here, that could have quickly turned into a disaster with either him or Pickens or both saying, what are we doing? I never get the ball. Of course, if you're getting your paycheck, if you're Ayuk, you'd probably be happy anyway. I just wonder about that. And maybe they're privately thinking to themselves now, wow, I'm glad we didn't spend all that money on Ayuk. We can probably get by with this group, given the coordinator that we have and the way we want to win games.
Well, and Ayuk's production has been so poor in San Francisco to start, especially with all the injuries that they have. Needing Ayuk to step up, he hasn't done it, which is something that he would need to do in Pittsburgh, step up and be the number two guy, where he's the fourth threat and fourth option in San Francisco. Anyway, I digress. I think they need another guy just because the attention to George Pickens, they're going to send more and more double teams towards him. More teams are going to do the Belichick style of defense against them, I think, and just shift, put an extra safety over to that side, as well as trying to stop the run.
Well, they already do. I'm curious to see how Calvin Austin develops. I mean, are we looking at an actual receiver? Matt Canada deployed him as a gimmick guy and a go-long guy. And not even so much the go-long guy. I remember one play from his entire career against the Raiders. Maybe I'm missing one. And then other than that, it was, maybe a jet sweep, maybe a return, something like that. Why can't he be a receiver? He looked like one last week against a very good defense.
He can, but I think his upside is just a number three slot receiver.
Maybe, and then little Scotty Miller. I don't even know if he's little, but he was elusive. He made some plays.
These guys route trees. Like, are they that dynamic? I don't think so.
They're route bushes. They're route twigs. They're not route trees.
They're route branches. Not many branches on the tree there.
They're route seeds. They're not even a tree. They're not even a partially grown tree. But maybe it looked like Austin's tree expanded.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like their willingness to use the middle of the field is partly a reason why.
I mean, if you go into a game with Pickens, Freiermuth, Najee and Jalen, both healthy, both can catch the ball, Miller, Austin, Jefferson, to me, you have enough guys to win games.
Yeah, but we're trying to convince ourselves that these guys who have never done it before in the league and they've had experience, I mean, Calvin Austin may be one of the younger guys, but Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, we're trying to convince ourselves that those guys can just emerge as the number two?
Maybe I'm being a devil's advocate. How about instead of a number two, you start to get, 8 to 10 targets to Freiermuth every game?
I'd be fine with that.
How about in lieu of that, you bump up the usage of him? How about if you get Najee and Warren both involved in the pass game more? Both those guys can catch. Najee can catch it down the field.
Well, like a receiver. Injured. Warren is clearly injured.
He is. I know that.
And he's been injured before this injury that's going to potentially keep him out all week.
He hasn't been the same. I would get him rested and get him ready, for midseason and then stretch run. And he's the type of guy who, if you ask him to take a rest, he'll punch you in the face.
He won't want it.
He doesn't want to take a rest, but sometimes you have to. Because when he's at full strength, there were so many times in his career where you just give him a short little dump pass and there's seven guys between him and the first down marker and he still gets the first down.
And he's playing for a contract too. Najee are playing for a contract.
I would make it a priority to get him well. And they have a little cushion right now, which is nice too for that.
I get him ready for Washington. That would be my target date. Now, you could obviously bring him back before that, but I would make sure that he's healthy for Washington and do everything I can, whether it's limiting carries to him and riding Najee, because Cordero Patterson, at least in the last drive, was pretty good against the Chargers, maybe not so much in the first two games.
Little tidbits I saw. This on SteelersDepot.com. T.J. Watt gets chipped nearly twice as often as any other pass rusher. This was quite interesting to me. In his 84 pass rush snaps, he's been chipped 37 times. And I thought Elandon Roberts was the tooth chipper here. Didn't you?
He's getting almost every time on third down.
That's 44%. Nobody else is close. Nobody else is even as high as 24%. That's unbelievable, honestly. Max Crosby, 20%. Now, this doesn't include double teams, triple teams, all that, but still. This is obviously a very common strategy for slowing these guys down. Myles Garrett, 18%. Aiden Hutchinson, 18%. Micah Parsons, 16%. I mean, that's incredible. It truly is.
So the superior Myles Garrett is not being chipped more than T.J. Watt. Interesting.
And again, I don't know what this means in terms of how often you get in double team, triple team. That's a different thing. But it's not like T.J. doesn't get that frequently, too. Who leads the league in sacks right now? Limitless wonder. Oh, I'll answer that question.
Is it Rousseau?
No. Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, he had that like 4-sack performance the other day.
6.5. Van Noy is up there. Keon White. Blah, blah, blah. Von Miller has 3. TJ has 3 in 3 games. He's going to have a bust-out game one of these days.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Where's Nick Herbig?
I think it could be this week.
He's got to be up here.
Herbig's got
to. It could be this week. Yes, it absolutely could be. That kid that he went against last week, the high draft pick.
Control-Alt-Delete.
Had shut down the likes of Crosby. They showed the graphic at the beginning of the game. He wasn't ready for TJ one-on-one. Simply was not ready for that. He had a gigantic body and a tiny little cranium. Did you see the shots of him before the game?
No, I was not paying attention to his Golden Dome.
Early in the game? He's like this massive figure. And then his head is like a Skittle. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's beside the point, though. One other thing, and this happened on the station this week. Doug Whaley had a suggestion that I'm trying to still figure out here, Limitless Wonder, that would seem to go against everything that the Steelers stand for. He was talking about the Fields-Wilson dynamic and basically what if Justin Fields, you know, takes off from here and becomes a $40 or $50 million quarterback. Do you want to stem the tide on that? And I guess from what I gather, I've only heard a little bit of this part of this clip. Do you try to stem the tide there? And if you do, how do you stem the tide? This is what Doug said with the morning guys.
If I'm Omar, I go into Art. What are you willing to pay this guy? Because if he continues on this trajectory, you're talking $40 to $50 million. Are we ready to do that? If you're not, then the next step is, do you throw Russell Wilson in there and maybe lose a couple games for the future? And you hope Wilson plays well and keeps you winning, but do you sacrifice this year for the eye on the future so you keep the cost down and you know you got a guy?
Oh, man.
These are the things that you have to think about when you're the general manager.
Okay. I guess the thought might cross your mind, but I'm almost speechless on that. There's zero chance that would ever happen, and it would be a terrible, terrible idea. Sacrifice this year with an eye on the future. I think if Omar ever went to Art and said, you know, if this guy Fields continues on this trajectory, he could be a $40 or $50 million quarterback, I think both of them would say, we sure hope so. We sure hope by the end of this season, people are badgering us to pay Justin Fields $40 million a season. That would be the best scenario of all. And more to the point, and I'm critical of the Steelers for lots of different things. I'm never, ever critical of them for their general philosophy. Although, you know, I've said before, it would be better, would have been better in certain years if they went 3-13 or 3-14. I believe that, but I have always greatly respected the fact that they play to win now. They play to win now, even, I think, sometimes to their detriment. This is so against their organizational philosophy and simply would never happen. It would never, ever, 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 ever happen. The idea of let's try to hold down the cost, the immediate cost of an emerging quarterback to possibly lose a few games and save that money on the other end. Oh, this isn't the Pirates we're talking about.
No, it's a bad idea. And it's why I proposed before the season to give Justin Fields like a $15 million extension or maybe pick up the option for next year. And even if you don't want to pick up the fifth year, have some insurance in your back pocket. And something else that I took away from that Doug clip is you bench Fields and you bring in Wilson, you lose a couple of games. He's just automatically thinking that Russell Wilson will lose these games, that he's not clearly not good enough anymore. That's something that I took away from this, too.
Well, he did say you hope Russell plays well, but the whole idea of it is sacrifice this year. The Steelers just don't do that. More to the point, this is a year where it looks like they can win. My God, they're off to a two-game lead in the division after 10 minutes here. Three games over the Bengals that a lot of us thought the team would win the division this year. Had the Bengals pegged for that. This defense, I think, has a chance to be their best defense in 14 years, since 2010. This is a year where suddenly, because of the start you've gotten off to and the talent on hand on defense, if you were ever all in to win, has to be this year.
And it's not like the offense around the NFL right now is at an all-time level.
Well, that's another thing, is that maybe the way the league is going these days plays right into Mike Tomlin's hands, right into his philosophy.
Yeah, shifting to running the football and playing some defense. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has turned the ball over four times. A lot of interceptions right now.
I mean, this franchise was just willing to put $30 million in a number two receiver's pocket. You don't think they'd love to have people telling them and writing and screaming on the radio like this at the end of this year, man, you better pay up for Justin Fields? To me, that's the best case scenario.
And in an offense, or at least in a league right now, where offense is not very efficient, Justin Fields is efficient. He's being efficient, not turning the ball over, doing exactly what the Steelers are asking him to do.
I mean, he's fine so far, but you know what I'm talking about. If he takes off here and becomes a star or becomes a guy you need to pay, I think the Steelers will be cheering in their offices, not expressing worry and ways to mitigate that.
Right, because if that happens, you give up a fourth-round pick for a franchise quarterback who's 25, 26 years old. You'd be ecstatic for that. It's okay. Like, you have to pay him whatever. Okay, fine. You're going to have to maneuver the cap around, but isn't Omar Khan the best in the NFL at doing that?
Chris Oak feels like Russell Wilson will get a start this year because he thinks just attrition, that Fields might get banged up a little bit. I'm not so sure we're ever going to see Russell Wilson. Not after the game I just saw Fields play, and I know it's only one game. And will I be stunned if it starts to go south a little bit? No. Not at all. But all I can judge is what my eyes see. It was going to take him a couple of games to ramp up. I think we get a little crazy in sports these days with wanting immediate results. Whether it's rookie quarterbacks. You know, does anybody remember that Mahomes sat for a year? He's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers sat for a year. He's pretty good. He sat for several years, actually. Like the idea that Caleb Williams would walk in and start lighting it up. Not everybody is a C.J. Stroud, and even he took at least a couple games to get going. For a lot of guys, it's going to be a year. Peyton Manning led the league in interceptions his rookie year. I mean, it's just it's crazy how in all facets of our lives these days, if it ain't immediate, I don't want to hear. Or I'm going to judge it right away. I mean, of course, Justin Fields was going to struggle or have an adjustment period. He's on a new team. I don't even think he had the full week of prep in week one. New coordinator, new head coach, new receivers. injuries on his offensive line. So it makes sense to me, Tomlin's game plans for those two games and Arthur Smith, and how it would have taken him a little bit here to get up to speed. He made a huge leap in week three. Does that mean I'm convinced he's on his way to stardom or is the answer for sure? No. But it opened my eyes. I imagine it had to open yours. I thought that was an A performance. They passed more than they ran. They put the ball in Fields' hands. It became clear early the Steelers weren't just going to run at will. So they let this guy throw 32 times. And all the things we heard in Chicago simply aren't playing out yet. Not yet. And that was a good defense, even without Bosa. Fields didn't go through progressions in Chicago. I don't know. Was that because their offensive line was hideous and he got beaten up for 2 years? Maybe got a little gun shy? I don't know. I didn't watch every game in Chicago. Fields was not decisive in Chicago, they say. Well, when one of your options is Chase Claypool, maybe you wouldn't be decisive either.